cheap oil plays out beyond that $2.84 a gallon we're seeing at the pump.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and the Economy. As we've been hearing, it is deadline day at the Iran nuclear talks, where negotiators are trying to limit Tehran's nuclear enrichment in return for lifting oil and bank sanctions. Restrictions have already squeezed the Iranian economy and could also affect OPEC's discussions about crude output and prices later this week. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more on that.
Sanctions helped bring Iran to the talks in the first place. Its markets were cut off, oil exports fell, recession came. Karim Sajapour at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace has tallied the cost of sanctions and lost investment. Comes out to $100 billion.
When you look at these enormous costs and you weigh it against what Iran's nuclear program can really provide in terms of energy, it's an economic catastrophe.
But he says Iran's supreme leader does not make decisions based on economics. It's politics. If there is a deal, Iran will want to sell more oil, even with a global glut, even as Iran and other OPEC members talk production cuts. So, which OPEC member would bear the pain of lost business? Not Iran, says Emery Desen at Energy Aspects.
They've already lost out on so many billions of dollars of revenues. That's really where it becomes a challenge for OPEC.
Which, by the way, meets on Thanksgiving. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
At a time that Russia calculates it's losing $40 billion a year because of Western sanctions stemming from the situation in Ukraine, that falling global price of oil is not helping. Russia is a huge energy producer, and some Russian officials can't shake the idea that the low prices are a plot designed to hurt Russia. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports from Moscow.
Russian politicians have been determinedly upbeat about the economy for some time. But now the finance minister has disclosed the cost both of Western sanctions and the slump in the oil price that the budget's so heavily dependent on. In total, he says, Russia's losing around $140 billion a year. His revelation follows an accusation from the foreign minister this weekend that the West is trying to promote regime change in Russia by ruining the economy and sparking mass political protests. In his latest interview, President Putin also suggested conspiratorial forces at work to push down the oil price. Whatever the cause, there's clearly increasing concern about the implications of this financial squeeze. After all, Mr. Putin built his popularity on a story of economic success. The government hopes that the oil price at least will stabilize, not fall further and push Russia into recession. But the finance minister has already warned that non-priority spending, as he put it, will have to be curbed.
Sarah Rainsford is based in Moscow for the BBC. While the key index on the Russian stock market is down about 0.5% today, it is up 24% from its low of last March, and it's up 6% this year. Now let's do more numbers. The 100-share index in London is down a scant 2 points. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are up. The Hang Seng index in Hong Kong rose nearly 2% today. The euro is up 0.2% at $1.2412. Turkey, definition a country in West Asia and Southeast Europe, or Turkey, a large gallinaceous bird, or Turkey, a flop, a dud. Marketplace regular and Fortune magazine senior editor at large, Alan Sloan, uses the last definition on this Thanksgiving week as he looks at the business turkeys of 2014. Mr. Sloan, welcome.
Good morning, David.
2014, your first turkey is what, the transatlantic pharmaceutical merger that never happened?
Right. Pfizer sort of tried to buy a company in England called AstraZeneca in order to move itself to England and pay a lot less tax. And when that happened, a household name, it woke me up. And I said, wait a minute, this is really serious stuff. And you can make a case that failed attempt is what set off the whole uproar about corporate inversions, which, as you know, I call desertions.
It woke you up to the tax maneuver known as inversion. That's when you said, hey, wait a minute.
And suddenly, here's Pfizer, you know, a huge company, a mainstay of New York City, and it's trying to do this deal. And I said, this isn't right, and started to ask, what is an American company? And that's what got a lot of people going on inversions.
Second turkey, what is this, a three-legged one?
You have three household names: Apple, Home Depot, and Target, all of which had data breaches. you hear firms that say, trust us, we know what we're doing, especially Apple. And it turns out their sites get hacked and people like me get these notes from Home Depot that says, well, somebody got your email address, but you shouldn't worry. I mean, very reassuring.
Exactly. They're still counting the costs of that at several of those companies. Finally, the man who founded SAC Capital, the vast hedge fund that ran into trouble, Stephen Cohen. He's quite an art collector here.
Yeah, he is. And as you know, SAC got whacked. There are all sorts of criminal charges brought against various associates of Cohen. Any competent advisor would say, Steve, why don't you keep your head down? Don't attract any attention to yourself. So what does he do? He goes out and he's buying all of these splashy artworks, including paying $101 million for a Giacometti bronze sculpture.
It's a gorgeous Giacometti, though. I mean, it's got to be worth $100 million. If you had $100 million, you'd be right there, my friend.
Well, but what you have to do is, you know, hock your public radio pension, come up with $102 million, and Cohen will probably sell it to you.
Right. All right. The turkeys of the year from Alan Sloan, senior editor at large at Fortune. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I didn't realize when I signed up for this business reporting gig that I would find myself so often on the marijuana beat. Last week, it was the launch of a global brand using Bob Marley's image, with the legalization of cannabis moving forward on several fronts around the country. There is news today that some pot retailers see the day after Thanksgiving as Green Friday. Bloomberg News today has the tale of a cannabis store in Denver predicting lines out the door Friday morning to get deals on things like vape thingies. The shops feel the need to get creative with their marketing since Colorado law prohibits many forms of traditional advertising, such as billboards. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.